feel a little short tonight here. Well, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning. It's been a while since I've stood behind a pulpit. And my name is John Evans. I think you know my wife and my children a little better than you know me. I want to thank you for praying for me for the last number of weeks and months. I'll explain why before we get into the message this morning. I'm originally from Saskatchewan. I grew up in Saskatchewan. Please forgive me for that. And my served churches in Saskatchewan, in Alberta, and most recently here in Charlotte, in Prince Edward Island, Charlottetown at Community Baptist Church for the last 16 years. Before, in July, God shifted my focus as far as ministry goes and transitioned into the Canadian Armed Forces as a chaplain. Anybody heard of Queen Victoria? I think, yeah, some of you have. Well, God ordained Queen Victoria in God's providence and sovereignty to place within the British military chaplains. And Canada has inherited that tradition from so long ago to have chaplains within the Canadian Armed Forces to be a spiritual help and care to people in very dark places. And so through a series of events, I've been called into the Armed Forces. And so I thank you for praying for me for the last number of months as I did basic training and just recently returned home to be with my family. And at the beginning of January, we'll be moving to Halifax, where I've been posted, and looking forward to that new adventure that God has in store for us. If you want to be exposed to a very spiritually dark place, the armed forces would be the place to go. The need is tremendous. I have had conversations with people that I never, ever had conversations like those conversations being 21 years in the pastorate. People open up and share their deepest heart's desires that God's placed within them. And so I ask that you would continue to pray for me and my family as I seek to be light and speak words of truth and hope and love in a very dark place, in a very dark place. I'd like to speak a little bit about that dark place this morning as we move into the message. You know, in case you hadn't noticed, Christmas is happening on Saturday. And so I'd like to speak a little bit about Christmas and the nativity story. You know, we know most of what we know about the Christmas story from the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. You know, they pretty much give us everything we know about the Christmas story. It's there that we hear about Mary's angelic visit, the trip to Bethlehem. We hear about the shepherds and the wise men. And while the Gospel of Mark picks up the life of Jesus when he is a grown man, the Gospel of John actually begins much earlier than any of the accounts in Matthew and Luke. John tells us what Jesus did before he ended up in the stable, as he takes us back to the beginning to show us that he really did have no beginning at all. If Luke and Matthew show us what the first Christmas was like through Mary and Joseph's eyes, John shows us what Christmas was like from the perspective of heaven. I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. I think this passage was read to us either last week or the week, I think it was the week before, John chapter 1. As we look at this very famous passage, John 1:1-5, and then I'm going to jump down to verses 9 through 13 as we work through this passage. And I'd like to bring out, I think this isn't a Baptist sermon because there's more than 3 points. There's actually 6, but I'm not going to keep you here for very long. But I'd like to pick out 6 things that we learn from John's prologue to his gospel here. 6 things that I think might be a good reminder for us this Christmas season. And so John chapter 1, verse 1, I'm going to read from the Christian Standard Bible. You read whatever translation you have. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. Jumping down to verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. The popular thinking of the day is to think that Christians follow a great man, perhaps even a prophet of God, who did a lot of good and taught some pretty profound things. And we celebrate the birth of this man at Christmas. The fact of the matter is, Jesus didn't come into existence at his birth or even at his conception. Jesus has always existed. Look at verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus is eternal and infinite because he has always existed. This passage immediately reminds us of the opening words of the Bible, of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. You know, the word in our John passage today is the Greek word logos, which refers to Jesus Christ. In Greek culture, the logos was that which gave meaning to everything. You know, the philosopher Philo saw the logos as the bridge between a transcendent God and the material universe. John is using a term here that everyone in the first century would be very familiar with, and yet he expands it and transcends its meaning. You see, since a word is an expression of a thought, Jesus perfectly revealed what was going on in the mind of God. He's the bridge between God and us. This morning, I'm trying my very best to convey to you the thoughts that are on my mind. And the medium that I am using is words. In the same way, Jesus is God's word to us. But God didn't just stop with just words. He became what he was saying. So we've said that the infant is infinite, we can also say that Christ is the creator. We see in verse 3 that Christ is the creator when it says all things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. So what was Jesus doing before the manger? What was he doing? Well, we see that he is God's divine activity. It is Jesus who created and sustains, and it is Jesus who redeems and saves. You know, one thing that always amazes me about newborns, we've had 4 of them so far, is how everything on them is so tiny. You know, their feet are so tiny, and their toes are even smaller. And it's hard to believe that fingers that small can bend and move and grasp at things. And it's unimaginable that those tiny fingers on Jesus were the ones that threw the stars into place and started the sun to burn. That he was the one who designed the laws of the universe that we are still trying to figure out today. You know, I can't understand the theory of relativity or quantum mechanics, but Jesus was the one who designed it all and set it all into motion. Christ is creator. He is infinite. And number 3, he is Lord of life and light. You know, look at verses 4 and 5 with me. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. The story of the Bible begins with physical darkness in Genesis 1. And to correct this darkness, God said what? What did he say? Yeah, he said, let there be light. But then spiritual darkness spilled into our world in Genesis 3. And that spiritual darkness could only be removed by Jesus becoming the light. As the light, Jesus shines into the darkness, and those who have not yet received him are still in the dark, and they can't understand him. You know, many people today do not comprehend the real meaning of Christmas because the world in general has no place for Christ and sees no need for him. But the darkness cannot ultimately put out the light because light is more powerful than darkness. Darkness, by its very nature, refuses to come into the light because darkness and light are polar opposites. If you have one, you don't have the other. A lit candle has no shadow. In Bethlehem, a Savior was born who brought divine light to a very dark world. But those in darkness could not and still cannot understand the Lord who is life and light. So we have said that the infant is infinite, that Christ is creator, and that the Lord is life and light. Unfortunately, verse 10 reveals that Emmanuel is often ignored. Verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. With the tinsel of Christmas, it's easy to blow right past the birth of Emmanuel, which means God with us. But everything starts with this truth. Jesus Christ was in the world. And he was here for more than just a fleeting visit. He was one of us and lived among us. Someone put it this way. We must never allow anything to blind us to the true significance of what happened in Bethlehem so long ago. Nothing can alter the fact that we live on a visited planet. There has always been a great divide in the human race. The majority has never recognized Jesus for who he really is. When he came to the first time, Herod hated him, the scribes ignored him, and there was no room for him in the inn. Only the shepherds and the wise men, the poor and the foreigners, welcomed him to earth. You know, not much has changed today. He came to the world he created, and the world did not recognize him. You know, I have to ask myself, how often do I ignore Jesus? As we anticipate the dawning of a new year in less than 2 weeks, coupled with a world that continues to be in turmoil over just something so small you can't even see it, let's focus on Emmanuel, God with us. While there are some who are apathetic and ignore the Christ of Christmas, others reject him outright. Look at verse 11. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Jesus, the Creator, came to the created, but the created hated him. They hated him so much that they eventually hung him on a cross and killed him. They should have known better because they knew he was coming. The Old Testament testifies to the one great truth that he's coming. One day God would send his Messiah to deliver his people Israel. But when Jesus finally arrived, they didn't receive him. You see, to not receive means to reject. Instead of welcoming him, they drove him away. This is not just a historical statement. It's a profound theological statement as well. Humans in general reject God. And the reason that we reject him is because we are too used to the dark. While it's true that the world ignores him and his own people rejected him, there have always been some who will receive him. John 1:12 is one of the greatest verses in the entire Bible, because it explains so simply how someone can become a Christian. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name. I want you to notice the three key words in this verse. The first one is receive. This is an active word with a very deep meaning. It literally means to take or to seize. Those who receive Christ are those who welcome or accept him into their lives. Jesus is God's gift to us at Christmas, and we can either choose to ignore him or reject him, or we can take hold of and seize that which is being offered to us. Have you taken hold of him? Have you received him into your life? Then there's the word believe. To believe means to engage our total being, our entire selves, so that we put our trust completely in Christ by committing our lives to him. It involves more than just an intellectual assent or an emotional response. Biblical belief always involves receiving or responding to what God in Christ has done for us. It means changing the direction of our lives. And then finally, we have the right. The word right means honor or privilege. The moment you receive Christ into your life, God gives you the honor of becoming a member of His family. We are given permission to become a child of God when we believe and receive. Christmas is a great reminder that we've not been forgotten. We live on a visited planet. My prayer is that you would hear the whisper of Jesus this Christmas. The infant is infinite. Christ is the Creator, and the Lord is life and light. Don't ignore or reject Him, because He wants you to be one of His children. Would you bow in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You that in Your love and in Your mercy, You would grace us with Your presence. That the one we celebrate this morning and in the coming days would be Emmanuel, literally, God with us. Heavenly Father, our prayer, our heart's cry this morning is that You would help us to focus our minds on this profound truth. Father, that we would not become distracted with the world, with the tinsel of Christmas and the lights, that we wouldn't get wrapped up in the panic of a pandemic. But Father, that we would place our focus and our trust on the one who would come and empty Himself, clothe Himself with flesh, become a helpless baby, and eventually live a sinless, pure life to die as a sacrifice for our sins. Father, we praise You for that. That through that sacrifice, we can all be offered forgiveness and have the right to become one of Your children. Father, as we celebrate Your first coming, Your Son's first coming this Christmas, our hearts all also turn to the reality that Your Son will return a second time. And that time will be different, very different from the first time, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So, Father, my prayer is that if there is anyone here this morning that hasn't bowed and confessed yet, that they would do so before the second coming. Father, we thank You for the opportunity that we've had this morning to worship You in spirit and truth. And Father, I pray that as we depart from here, that Your words would continue to dwell and work within our hearts, and Father, that we'd be transformed more into Christ's likeness.